The Retirement and IRA Show represents the words and views of the show hosts exclusively and should not be construed as investment, legal, or tax advice. All information is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. All economic and performance information is historical in nature and is not indicative of any future results. Any indices mentioned on the show are unmanaged and cannot be invested indirectly. Diversification and asset allocation strategies do not assure profit or protect against loss. Never make any investment or financial decisions based on information offered on this show without first consulting your financial, legal, or tax advisor. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Financial planning services offered through Jim Saulnier & Associates, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Jim Saulnier & Associates, LLC, and Cambridge are not affiliated.
This is the Retirement and IRA Show coming to you from beautiful Northern Colorado. Join us this morning as certified financial planner Jim Saulnier, as well as Colorado State University finance instructor and certified financial planner Chris Stein, teach you about IRAs, 401ks, annuities, Social Security, pension plans, and estate planning in a fun and enjoyable show. Whether you are listening live in Colorado or streaming from their website or iTunes podcast, Jim and Chris want you to know that they're available to help you plan for your retirement. Just visit their website at jimhelps.com. That's Jim, H-E-L-P-S.com. And click the Meet the Team button on the homepage. Now, here's Jim and Chris with today's show.
Good morning, Northern Colorado. Welcome to this episode of the Retirement and IRA Show. Today is a beautiful and going to be very warm Saturday, June 10th. At least I assume it's going to be warm because we are recording this on Thursday, June 8th. But the weather forecast for this weekend looks like it's going to be very hot and dry. So it should be a nice hot and dry Saturday if that's what you're into. And of course, this is the Retirement and IRA Show. My name is Jim Saulnier. I'm a certified financial planner. And normally you hear Chris Stein, who is a finance instructor at Colorado State University and also a certified financial planner, usually hear his voice right now welcoming everybody. But Chris, for those who've been paying attention, is in Vietnam right now. So I would assume he's very hot and humid, not just hot like we're going to be, but hot and humid. He will be in Vietnam for the entire month of June. That CSU, where he teaches, has an agreement with a university in Hanoi, and they exchange instructors every now and then. And Chris has gone to Vietnam to teach economics and finance for the month of June. And he took his whole brood with him, all six kids, and his lovely wife, Melissa. So the eight of them took off about a week ago, and I have not heard from him since. So I hope he's not lost in the jungles of Vietnam, but hopefully everything is going good. And I am here instead today with Justin Fundalinski, who also works with Chris and I in the office. And Justin, for those who don't know, has been with us for almost 3 years now, and his area of expertise is taxes. And good morning, Justin.
Good morning. How's it going?
It is going well. It's going very well. And how do you feel today recording? It's usually you only come in for an episode or a segment or two.
Yeah.
And now
we've got a couple shows going on.
We're going to record, actually, obviously, Saturday the 10th's show, and we're going to record Saturday the 24th's show all today. So if something major happens between June 8th and June 24th, we're not going to be talking about it.
That's right.
So it's not that we're ignoring it. It's that it hasn't happened yet. We're recording these. The reason I skipped, folks, over Saturday the 17th of June is I have good news for our Northern Colorado listeners. The Saturday, June 17th show is going to be live. We haven't been live, I think, in goodness, in months. I think at least 5 months now we haven't been live. You don't know because you don't do the show on a regular basis. But Chris and I had decided that we wanted our Saturdays to ourselves, and that meant not coming in and getting up at 6 in the morning to be in Greeley for 8 to do a two-hour show and then drive back to Berthoud and Fort Collins. But this Saturday, it's not you, Justin, who's coming in live, unless you want to. You're more than welcome to come in. But it'll be Peter Scott. So it'll be myself and Peter Scott, maybe Justin if he wants to come in. But I share this with our listeners in Northern Colorado because if you've been waiting to ask us questions, waiting to have us answer questions live, get ready. Sharpen your pencils, get your paper out, get your phone ready. You're going to call, oh, Lord, I don't even know the number anymore to the radio station. 970-353-1310. All right, that's 970-353-1310. Don't call that today because you're just going to get a busy signal. But next week on Saturday morning, if you have any questions on estate planning, Peter Scott will be here to answer those. We dragged Pete out of retirement, and he's going to be gracious and give up his Saturday morning and come in with me and do the show. If you have any questions on Social Security, if you have questions on retirement planning, obviously you would call on Saturday and ask me. And if Justin comes in that Saturday morning, if you have questions on taxes, he will be here to answer those. So that's kind of a little bit exciting. And that will take us all through June. That takes us right up to the July 4th holiday. There'll be a best of played for that day. And then after that, Chris will be back and we'll go to our regular schedule again. So anyways, had to get that homework out of the way.
So we're recording for June 10th then, huh? Yeah.
Today's the 8th, but we're recording for June 10th.
So technically, it's broadcasting today on my birthday. Did you do something for me, Jim?
Today's your birthday?
June 10th is.
June 10th. Yes, we have something planned tomorrow, the 9th.
Oh, perfect.
So it'll be a surprise.
All right.
Does Tina know this?
I believe so, yeah.
Perfect. Then I'm sure we have something planned.
All right. Excellent.
So what are you now, 30?
34.
34. Yeah. Wow, you're getting up there in years.
Yeah, yeah. I am. I'm starting to feel it every day.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. You're looking so in shape. For those who don't know, I'm 53, going to be 54. Justin and I are 20 years apart. He is in incredible shape. You are pretty much a mountain bike racer.
I do a little mountain bike
racing. No, not a little. You do a lot.
I do a lot of mountain biking, and I think that just keeps me in shape, but it's more of just a fun thing that I like to do to release stress and have fun. So,
well, every time I look at you, I say to myself, God, will he get a little bit of fat on him? But you are in incredible shape. But you work out hard for that, and I applaud your effort because, God, I worked out once about 20 years ago. And
still feeling it?
I'm still feeling it. You know, I lifted weights, but they were so heavy. So I just thought, this sucks. And
Yeah. Well, I can see your tone still.
It held. Yeah. It held well. But that one day of working out, boy, did it work. I wish I kept up with it.
Yeah.
It probably would have.
Amazing results.
Yeah, it would have been
sure.
Amazing results 20 years later.
Yeah.
But happy birthday. I am sure Tina has something planned. I'm sure I'll be the one paying for it, and I'm sure it'll be very fun.
Oh, I'm sure. Thank you.
Okay. So what are we doing today? Today is going to be a good show. I hope it's a good show. I got the inspiration for today's show because Justin and I went for some training just 2 days ago on June 6th. We went for some training down in Denver. And on the way back, I says, you know what, Justin, we're going to talk a little bit about this because towards the end of the training, Justin, a little bit of this was training with a bunch of financial advisors. There was a little bit of unsurety in the classroom on how to pay for financial planning fees.
That's right.
How to charge clients. And a lot of advisors were shocked at what I said. And it elicited a little bit of classroom discussion, even with the instructors who were not there to talk about what I started talking about. But even the instructors were surprised on a few things.
Absolutely.
So I thought, you know, we're going to talk about this to our listeners because most of our listeners here in Northern Colorado, our listeners are probably bored people on a Saturday morning who have nothing to do but listen to talk radio.
Yeah, fun stuff.
And because we broadcast off of KFKA out of Greeley, which is a talk radio station, and these people are probably used to listening to talk radio, so they keep their radio on a Saturday morning, and we're on. And because they like talk radio, they just listen to us yap. And that's different than our iTunian listeners.
Very different. Yeah.
And I want to welcome our iTunians as well. Our iTunians, that's the nickname I've created out of all the bastardizations of the English language I do on this show. iTunian is one that Chris actually liked.
It stuck. It sticks with all of our...
Well, the iTunians.
Yeah, all the iTunians, yeah.
They actually write to us as iTunians. And it's the nickname I have given to the people who listen to the Retirement and IRA show as a podcast, not because they're bored on a Saturday morning and their radio is set to 1310, so they listen to us, but people who actually search us out and want to listen to us on demand. They could be listening to us at midnight. They could be listening to us while they're in the shower. They could be listening to us while they're driving or cooking dinner. They listen to us whenever they want. But they're a feisty little bunch.
They're a unique group, absolutely.
And they're mostly do-it-yourselfers.
They are all do-it-yourselfers, it seems.
Right, because who else would want to listen to two guys yap about retirement planning?
Yeah.
Boring. So they're definitely a feisty bunch. We love our iTunians. We encourage you to reach out to us, ask us questions. I'm backlogged again on questions. I got about five or six, Chris, that I, Justin, that I have to get to, but we're not going to get to him today. But we encourage our iTunians to reach out to us, to work with us. We can work with anyone in any state, but we also want them to learn from us. And I really thought our iTunian listeners will find today's show valuable.
I think so, absolutely.
Because what we want to talk about, folks, is not only paying for financial planning advice, but how you pay for it could blow up your IRA and get you into trouble with the IRS.
It sure could.
And that's what we want to talk about. So what are we getting at? Let's go back to how we came up with this idea for the topic today. What had happened, folks, is on Tuesday, Justin and I traveled down to Denver, which is not far from us. It's about an hour drive for Justin, and it's about a 45-minute drive for me. And we met down in Denver to review some upcoming changes our industry will experience, technically beginning tomorrow on Justin's birthday, June 9th. Or yesterday, for those of you listening to this on June 10th, it is called the DOL rule. DOL stands for Department of Labor rule. Well, the rule was delayed a few months, and it's beginning tomorrow. Not fully, folks. The rules begin to apply tomorrow, but they're not going to be enforced until January 1st of 2018. And they could still be delayed, the DOL says, between now and then.
So they're like testing the waters.
They're kind of testing the waters right now. They want us to apply the rules. They want us to make a good effort to work under the rules. But if we mess up, if we don't do something right, if we don't cross our I's and cross our T's and dot our I's. If we make a mistake like that.
Yeah, exactly.
If I cross an I instead of dotting a T.
Exactly.
They're not going to come after us.
Right.
But they did say between now and January 1st, they may delay the true forceful implementation even longer. They're not sure.
They're working on it.
So we're kind of in this purgatory for those of
limbo.
You. I was raised Catholic, and, you know, purgatory was where you went if you didn't quite absolve yourself of all sins before getting into heaven. You sat around in purgatory for a little while. And we're kind of in this purgatory.
Yeah,
That's a good analogy.
Yeah.
It's a good analogy.
Yeah.
It was sitting around waiting in purgatory.
Yeah.
So we went down to Denver, folks, to learn a little bit about what we're going to have to do in the office to make sure we are following the DOL rules. And it was taught by, there was an attorney there, there was a compliance expert there, and there was an operations manager or expert there.
Yeah.
And three lovely women.
Yeah.
The attorney was beautiful.
Oh, boy.
I told you I had a crush on
yes,
her.
Yes, you did.
Oh, my God, was she beautiful.
Yes.
But at least in my eyes.
It
I hope she's not. Oh, no. This is going to get back to her. Because our compliance person probably knows her.
Oh, boy.
Oh, you can relay it to her. She was married, but my God, our compliance person who's listening, let her know I thought she was pretty cute. But she was a beautiful woman. Anyways, very married. She had a rock on her finger.
She did.
Okay.
And a great personality.
She did. That's what I liked about her, besides her beauty. But great personality. Not to say the other two weren't nice either.
No, they were very nice.
They were very nice.
Very nice.
But nonetheless, three very astute and qualified people were teaching us about these rules we had to follow.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to begin by explaining the DOL rule and what it's causing in the industry. Because towards the end of the meeting, there was a question and answer session. And we could all ask the three lovely women questions, and they would answer them. And towards the end, it was a colleague of mine that I introduced you to. I've known him. He's a feisty guy, is he not?
Oh, yeah.
He's.
Yeah.
I don't want to say
he
his
knows
name.
When to speak up. That's
oh, my
sure.
Lord. Yeah, he can. But he's a cool guy. He works down in Lakewood, although he said some other town just annexed his office.
Yeah.
So he's not in Lakewood anymore, technically. But that's south of Denver, those who don't know. He's a real cool guy. I like him. I'm not going to say his name because I didn't call him first to say, hey, you mind if I talk about our conversation? So I won't say his name, but he started saying to the group that because of the DOL rule, he is going to start offering as part of the cost of having him manage assets for people, he's going to start offering what?
More services.
More services.
Yeah.
And specifically?
Financial planning.
Financial planning. Exactly. He was going to start offering them being his clients, a financial plan with his asset management. And it was all going to be under his asset management fee.
Maybe a little reverse there. The DOL rule is kind of pressuring.
That's where I'm going with this,
okay.
Fees.
Okay, perfect.
Yep, we're
going to
cover
right.
that.
All right.
And I had shared with Justin that a few weeks ago I was in Kansas City. And, Micah, you love Kansas City because you're a Chiefs fan, aren't you?
You watch your mouth, sir.
For those who don't know, Micah is producing today's show because Justin and I don't know how to run the equipment.
We have no idea.
So Micah is a good friend of mine. He is also one hell of a Broncos fan. And for those who don't know, the Broncos and the Chiefs are pretty big rivals.
Yes, we all hate each other.
Yeah, exactly. You all hate each other. So I was in Kansas City, and it was at the Ed Slott program, and I met another advisor. And because of the DOL rule, he's going to start, as part of his asset management fee, he's going to start paying for his client's estate plan, a basic estate plan, but he will pay the attorneys for it.
Just rolling
more services in.
Under one fee.
Under one fee.
Okay, yeah.
So that is a problem. And I mentioned, because my colleague down in Denver, when he had said to the group that he was going to start offering financial planning as part of his asset management, he asked the girls on stage, the women on stage, if he could do that from their IRA.
Right.
And he had missed the point because he was saying, if I do a financial plan and pay for it from their IRA assets as part of my asset management, can I give advice on more than just their IRA account? That was his issue.
That was his issue, yeah.
He was wondering, because when you do a financial plan, the SEC, not the DOL, one of the issues with our industry is we're regulated by multiple personalities.
Yeah.
We are regulated by the Securities and Exchange Commission, the Department of Labor, the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, every state's securities division, and the state insurance divisions. We have five regulators, all with their own damn rules. So he was wondering to the professionals on stage, if he charged an asset management fee, a fee to be an investment advisor and manage someone's assets, and as an additional service because of the DOL rule, I'll explain in a minute why we keep saying because of the DOL rule, he wanted to offer more services to appeal to his clients. Mm-hmm. And he said, I'm going to start doing financial planning. And if I take the money from their IRA to pay for the financial plan, can I give advice on more than just that IRA? And the women on stage said, yes, you could.
Yes.
But they missed the boat on one important thing. You can't pay for financial planning that way.
Out of an IRA.
Out of an IRA.
No, you cannot.
So yours truly, who tends to voice his opinion, and I knew this guy quite well, I said to him, let's just say his name was, because we're going to protect the
anonymity?
Privacy. I ain't trying that word. We're going to protect the privacy of people, and we're going to call this guy George.
Oh, George again.
Yeah, we're going to call him George. We have lots of Georges.
Yeah.
I'll get the sound clip later.
Okay, you can tell Micah didn't know I was going to go with George. We have a sound clip that usually plays, but Micah didn't have it. So George, I turned to George and I says, George, the problem is if you pay for the financial planning from the IRA, it's going to blow up that IRA and it could cause an immediate taxable event.
It could cause that, absolutely.
It could. Mm-hmm. We are not saying it will. We're saying it could.
Causing a risky situation.
A very risky situation. And he was surprised by that. He said, I asked people and they said no. And I said, well, whoever you ask doesn't know the rules. And that turned into a very spirited discussion. And that's what we're going to talk about today, folks. What happens if you have an advisor and an investment advisor? I have been saying for years on this show, there is a difference between a financial planner and an investment advisor.
You mean they do different things, Jim?
They do different things.
No, come on.
And most people, nobody calls themselves an investment advisor. That used to be a stockbroker. They don't call themselves stockbrokers anymore. They don't call themselves investment advisors unless they are a registered investment advisory firm. They may call themselves wealth managers or investment advisors mm-hmm. and admit they're investment advisors. Mm-hmm. But most investment advisors call themselves financial advisors or financial planners because those two terms mean nothing. They mean nothing literally, and they mean nothing legally.
It's the legal side, yeah.
It means nothing.
Yeah.
They're not a sanctioned term by the regulators. Anyone could call themselves a financial planner. Not anyone can call themselves a certified financial planner. That is owned by the Certified Financial Planning Board. Like I am a CFP, you're not, but Chris is and I am. So we can call ourselves certified financial planners. You cannot.
No, I cannot.
But you are going for the enrolled agent designation. Your specialty is taxes, not financial planning. The investment advisors out there, most people who call themselves financial planners, are nothing more than investment advisors, giving advice on investments, and that's all. But they call themselves financial planners. And what is happening now is the DOL is actually regulating not financial planners, people, investment advisors. And most financial planners, we are financial planners. My firm is a financial planning-centric firm. People pay us, Justin, directly, do they not?
Yes, for advice, absolutely.
Correct. We do not charge them for financial planning by saying we're going to take it out of what we charge you for managing your money.
No, we don't bundle that up.
Nope. No. Asset management is one service. You want it, great. If you don't want it, you don't have to have us manage your assets. If you want to hire us for our advice, you pay us for our advice. Yeah. You want a retirement plan, you pay us for that. You want tax preparation, you pay your company for that. You want tax planning, you pay my company for that, and I hire you to do that. You want a estate plan, you hire Brandon, who works with us. He's an estate planning attorney. You pay us, folks, for what you want and what you need. Well, the industry doesn't work that way for the most part.
No, not at all.
Most people are investment advisors, and they're charging you a percent of your assets, and for years, that's all you got. And every now and then, they would give you a little advice. Hey, should I pay off my mortgage? Well, let's crunch some numbers on that. Hey, should I buy this car or lease it? Well, let's crunch some numbers on that. Hey, can I retire? Well, let me put these numbers in my computer while you wait, and in 5 minutes, he's going to tell you if you can retire or not. It was that superficial level. It was just a little bit of quote-unquote financial planning. But in reality, the whole meat and potatoes of that relationship was they were going to invest your money. They're going to charge you a fee on it, and that was the relationship.
And honestly, back way when, 10, 15 years ago, I think, you know, charging 1 to 2% for managing assets was probably a fair thing. You had to research stocks. You had to research mutual funds. You had to make trades. You had to execute trades. You had to create models. You had to do...
All by hand.
All by hand.
There
That's
was
the
no
thing.
Computers to help us.
Today, it's a very different story.
Absolutely.
And those jobs have gotten a lot easier.
Exactly.
If not completely automated.
I know so many investment advisors who work part-time, barely. They just have AUM, they call it, assets under management. Most of their clients are in the same portfolios. Mm-hmm. Computers do it all now, and they have tons of free time, and they say, look at all the money I'm making, and I'm not doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
Those people are the ones in trouble.
They're going to hurt.
So what is happening, and we, again, I'm trying to teach our listeners, especially our iTunians, that there is a complete difference between investment advisors and financial planners. Well, what's happening, folks, is the DOL is coming after investment advisors. And for investment advisors to justify the fees they're charging you, as Justin has just said, fee compression, the difficulty of doing all this has dropped. When we come back, we're going to talk about what the DOL is forcing the industry to do. So we'll get to that when we come back. And we're also going to lead in with a song from 1935. It was one of the most popular songs from a screwball comedy called Two for Tonight, starring Bing Crosby and Joan Bennett. And it produced many, many popular 1935 songs. So we'll hit that when we come back on the Retirement and IRA Show.
Are you interested in your own customized Social Security analysis? If so, visit us at helpwithmysocialsecurity.com. And click the Contact Jim and Chris button. Jim and Chris offer a $75 Social Security optimization analysis that includes a one-hour consultation to discuss the specifics of your Social Security situation. This very affordable offer is for both singles and couples and will provide you with the information you need to make an informed decision about claiming your Social Security benefit.
You have that indefinable something. At times you're too darn good to be true. That certain please be mineable something. You're every bit of charm under the sun, rolled into one, my darling. From the top of your head.
Welcome back to the Retirement and IRA Show. You were just listening to one of the top songs from 1935. Do you know what that was, Justin?
I have no idea.
Neither did I. So I am totally reading all this from Tina's notes here. Apparently, the name of that song, Justin? From the Top of Your Head.
Oh.
You should know who sung it. Or sang it, or is singing
it. Maybe if I'd recognize the name.
Put it up again, Micah.
Talk about adorable creatures.
You don't recognize that voice?
No.
You have so many thrillable.
No, that's Bing Crosby.
I was going to say that, actually, but I didn't want to look a fool on radio, so.
You've heard of Bing Crosby?
Of course,
okay.
Of course.
But that is From the Top of Your Head, composed by Mac Gordon and Harry Revel. Not that those names mean anything to us. And it was from a movie called Two for Tonight. And the movie was itself based on a play. It was about a songwriter who was hired to compose a full-length theatrical piece within a few days' time, and all the hijinks that resulted from it. Sounds like a boring movie.
Mm-hmm.
But 1935, it was cutting edge, I suppose. The movie faced tough critics, though. Five songs for it became huge hits. So why is that tough critics if they became huge hits?
Well, maybe the movie itself was
maybe
awful,
the movie stunk.
The songs were great.
But the songs were good, yeah. And Two for Tonight was one of them. The others were I Wish I Was Aladdin, From the Top of Your Head, Takes Two to Make a Bargain, and Without a Word of Warning. Interesting. But that was about it. That's everything. I know Chris makes it sound a little more interesting as he talks about it. But that was one of the top songs from 1935. For those, especially those iTunians who are wondering, what the hell are these guys doing? Why are they leading in with a song from 1935? That's kind of what we do in the lead-in on the second, third, and fourth segment of the show, because all these songs tie into Social Security, believe it or not. And we'll explain later on today's show, for those who don't know, why and how all these songs tie into Social Security. And that's very important because in addition to doing the Retirement and IRA show, we also host a blog and a podcast called HelpWithMySocialSecurity.com. Do you have anything to add to that?
No, I don't.
All right. Mom just texted me, so that's why I was looking at my computer screen.
You looked at me, and then you looked at your
computer. Yeah, I'm looking down here. Well,
what do you want me to say?
When it comes in from Mom, I got to look and see.
Hopefully everything's all right.
Okay. Yeah, she just had a few questions. But when Mom text comes in...
Yeah, you got to drop it.
That gets attention.
That's how it is with wife texts.
Wife texts
wife
like
text,
the, like
yeah.
Mom
oh, yeah.
texts?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So back to what we were talking about. We're trying to set the stage here on what problem you can run into if you are paying for financial planning through what is known as a wrap fee or an AUM fee to a financial planner and or investment advisor, most likely they're an investment advisor, and you're doing so with IRA money. What can happen? The problem that can arise. And you're going to start seeing this more and more, folks, because of the Department of Labor rule that takes effect or took effect yesterday, the 9th of June.
9th of June.
Or tomorrow. Today is the 8th as we record this, and it's playing on the 10th. So it's kind of that day squeezed right in the middle. And what we're getting at is under the DOL rule, the Department of Labor rule, it only applies. I'm not a fan of the DOL rule.
No?
We'll make that perfectly clear. I made that clear to our listeners before. I think in spirit, they did it right, the Department of Labor.
Yeah, I agree.
But I think the practicality of it was done all wrong. They did not involve the Securities and Exchange Commission. They kind of went rogue and did this on their own. They have no right regulating financial planners or investment advisors, really. I got to keep calling it what it is. They have no right to regulate investment advisors. They freely admit that. So they're going to enforce their rule through the trial bar. They freely admit that. They're going to make it even easier to sue someone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, again, not my issue, because I think if you do what's right for your clients, you're not going to get sued.
Absolutely.
But I think they should have involved the Securities and Exchange Commission and Congress, who actually makes laws, and they could have made this apply across the board.
Yeah. This just further segments the industry into different rules.
It does, yeah. Because the Department of Labor rules only applies, folks, to retirement accounts. It does not apply to your brokerage accounts. So someone can still be an unethical SOB on your brokerage account, but God forbid they do it on your IRA, we're going to send them to jail.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous. Let it apply across the board. But that's not what the Department of Labor did. The Department of Labor was trying to, I think, do the right thing, but they didn't have the authority to it. So they really, it was like making sausage, looking at them come up with their rationale for saying we have a right to regulate IRAs. They called it retirement investors. That's the people they're looking to protect. So they're telling you right off the bat, retirement, it only applies to retirement accounts. Investors, they're going after investment management. This has nothing to do with financial planning.
Not at all.
Nothing at all.
No.
And the industry is predicated mostly on investment management, but not just in IRAs, Justin, or 401ks. There's non-IRA accounts. the rules don't apply to those.
No.
That's one of the issues I have with the Department of Labor rule. I have a couple other issues. I don't like personally the fact that it's going to be enforced by the trial bar and not by an act of Congress that sets rules and laws, and they can be punished not by trial attorneys but by judges and courts.
Mm-hmm.
I have an issue with that. I also have an issue, well, as I already said, it only applies to retirement accounts, not across the board. I have another issue. The DOL rule says somebody giving investment advice to a retirement investor, not financial planning advice, folks, investment advice to a retirement investor must charge them a quote-unquote reasonable fee.
Oh, yeah, reasonable. Define that.
Did they?
Not at all.
That's the issue, folks.
No definition.
They did not provide a definition of reasonable. If this is going to be enforced by the trial bar, and DOL freely admits that's how they had to write this because they don't have any authority to enforce it, and they don't define what reasonable is, how long before attorneys start trying to throw it out there, hey, we're going to sue, we think that's unreasonable.
It's unreasonable. That's an opinion. It's a matter of opinion.
Exactly. So they don't define the word reasonable. So because of that, it has scared the industry. So a lot of these investment advisors, who truly are just managing money, Justin, and doing nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said at the beginning of the end of the last segment, and you were not here. Well, you were here. You just weren't working in the industry 15 years ago. Hell, you were still in high school, I think. But 15 years ago, I was knee deep in doing what I'm doing. And you said it must have been much more difficult managing money back then.
There's no doubt it was.
It was, Justin.
Yeah.
When I first started, and I wore two hats, and I still wear two. Well, actually, we don't wear an investment advisory hat anymore. I just went out and hired a chartered financial analyst who manages or helps give us advice on managing our client money. But back then, I didn't have the money to hire a CFA. So I did investment management, and I did financial planning. I had both hats on.
Mm-hmm.
And my clients knew who they were dealing with because I always charged separately for each service. Here's what I charge to manage your money. Here's what I'll charge to do a retirement plan for you. There was no ambiguity. It's okay. It was right there.
Ahead of the curve, actually.
When I had to manage money and do a trade, there was no software that told me how to quickly do a trade. I had to do it all by hand. And the trade blotter had to be completed as well. We had to fax trades in. Fax. You didn't email them in. You didn't. If you called them.
I'm cringing right now.
If you called a human to make a trade, I had to pay an extra $10 per trade. They wanted you to fax. So you would fax in your trades. You had to write them on hand. Each sheet of paper held just four.
Oh,
so if I was going to rebalance a portfolio, let's say the portfolio had 10 investments and I wanted to rebalance. There's 20 trades there.
Yep.
I've got to sell and buy back. Not the whole thing. I might sell 1% of one fund, 10% of another fund and reallocate it to 3% of this fund and that fund. I had to do it all by hand. It was an hour and a half to rebalance a portfolio. There were days I would go in and my goal would be to rebalance 3, 4, 5 client accounts that day. And if I got them done, I felt I had accomplished something. That warranted charging a 1.5% fee.
Fast forward to today.
Today, I tell you, Travis told us we should rebalance, Justin, all our conservative growth portfolios.
How many are there?
It doesn't matter. How long does it take you to do that?
I don't know. 10 minutes max.
10 minutes. And that could be one account or 100 accounts.
Yep.
Done.
Done.
Done. That, folks, is how easier it is today, yet have investment advisory fees dropped.
Not at all.
Not at all.
Not at all.
Not at all. 15 years ago, the industry standard was 1% to 1.5% of assets. Today, it's 1 to 1.5% of assets. I've seen people charging more than that.
That's crazy.
It's crazy. So what the industry is worried about under the DOL rule, is that still reasonable?
No.
Well, you and I will say no. Now, the industry will say, well, everyone's charging it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, not anymore, folks, because of technology. Justin, you grew up with the internet. You laugh because, and Chris is here. Well, he's not here, but he laughs at me, too. Micah would laugh. Micah's techie. Everything I do is printed.
It's crazy.
Y'all laugh at that.
Yes, we do.
I print the emails we get. I print out show notes. I just print everything. Except I read books on Kindle now.
Yeah.
I just love it. I read the books
converting
on Kindle.
Over slowly.
Slowly
here.
But surely.
Yeah.
But I do read
we'll
on Kindle.
There.
And the Wall Street Journal I read on their app now.
Yeah.
I don't like the paper version. But I'm still a paper person. You're not.
Not at all.
When in our recording studio in the office, folks, you can tell Justin's side of the table, there ain't nothing on it. There's a chair and a microphone. What's on my side of the table? Mass chaos.
Yeah.
Papers everywhere.
A fire hazard.
Yeah. I've got papers everywhere because I read a lot of industry periodicals, and I don't read, even though I read the Wall Street Journal and the Kindle, I still want a magazine in my hand. So I read Financial Planning Magazine. I read the Journal of Financial Planning, Barron's, Investment News, all the paper version. So I rip out the pages from those, and I have them in front of me, and I've got the printed emails for it. It's crazy. Chris laughs because I normally use my iPad as an easel to hold those papers up for me.
Very expensive easel.
So, yeah, he says it's my $900 easel. Mm-hmm. Mike is laughing, but it's the truth, Mike. That's how I do it.
There's no problem with it, as long as you get your work done.
It's working.
It works.
But the issue is, folks, where I'm going with this, the industry recognizes it is not as hard for them to manage your portfolio today as it was 15 years ago, but they haven't lowered their fee. And they're worried the quote-unquote word reasonable can no longer be defended that 1-1.5% is reasonable.
Hence, people saying, I'm going to start adding additional services under the same fee.
Exactly. And the industry's answer to this is what Justin just said. We're going to start giving more to our clients, charging them the same fee, rather than lowering their fee. No, we're going to charge the same.
Right.
I'm just going to do a little more.
Can't cut
so
revenue.
I'm going to actually do something for my money now, mm-hmm. since computers are doing it all. The problem they're running into isn't only the DOL rule that says reasonable. It's computers. When I hired you 3 years ago, Justin, we went out to lunch. We go out to lunch every week. And I said to you something, and I still say it to this day. I told you our competitors, Justin, are not the people across the street. I said they were two things.
The internet and the regulators.
Exactly. And this was 3 years ago I told you that.
Yeah.
I said a competitor is not someone down the street. We would eat their lunch. We know retirement planning inside and out. There is no one in my community, I said, that in my humble opinion is doing a retirement plan better than us. They may be doing it as good as us. Most of them are doing it far worse than us. We can hold our own against anyone and eat their lunch on retirement planning because that's what we are. We're distribution planners. We're not accumulation planners. We know how to do retirement planning.
That's all we do. You better know it.
I said, however, my definition of a competitor is anyone or anything that impedes my ability to grow my business. That, to me, is the definition of a competitor. And I said the two ways we're going to be impeded is the internet and the regulators. The DOL rule went anywhere on the horizon. And neither were what the industry now calls robo-advisors, computers.
Yeah.
What has happened over the last 3 years, folks, is that some very astute tech people have started companies that actually will manage your money for a tenth or two-tenths of a percent, not 1, 1.5, 2%, but a quarter of a percent or a tenth of a percent, or in the case of Schwab, allegedly zero, but it really isn't. You'd have to know how Schwab's doing it. They're making money. They have driven down the cost of investment management in 3 years so fast. It is causing these guys who charge 1.5% of assets to lose sleep. And then to top it off, the cherry on top, the DOL says you can be sued if your fees are not quote-unquote reasonable. We're going to pass this rule. We have no right doing this, so we're going to enforce it through the trial bar. And if your fee isn't reasonable, you can be sued. Well, what the hell is reasonable now if a computer will manage your money at 0.2% or 0.25%? And that's the issue investment advisors are running into. The DOL says you can be sued if it's not reasonable. And now they're worried. They can. In the past, their answer was, well, everyone's doing it.
Right.
Everyone's charging 1.5%. That's reasonable. Well, all of a sudden, you can get pure investment advice, not financial planning, folks. You're not going to get, from these computer systems, you're not going to get a sound retirement plan, but you'll get an asset allocation. So if asset management, not financial planning, but asset management, if that can be done at 0.25% and you are charging 1.5%, your hiney is in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Because is that reasonable? Can that be defended now? Especially if your performance, Justin, is not beating the computer. This, you know who's laughing over this? Boggleheads.
Boggleheads?
Boggleheads.
Boggleheads.
Vanguard people.
Oh.
They call them Boggleheads.
Oh, I didn't know.
Because Bogle, whatever his name is.
Okay.
Bogleheads.
Okay.
Not Boggle. I'm sorry.
I thought you were talking about the things you put on your dashboard.
No, those are Bobbleheads. These are Bogleheads. You know, the guy who started Vanguard, Bogle's his name.
Yeah.
He turned the industry upside down 20 years ago through passive management. You and I are huge fans of passive investing.
Absolutely.
Much of our portfolios that we help people manage, and we charge next to, I can't say next to nothing, we do charge, but a hell of a lot less than 1%. We use a lot of passive investing.
Yeah.
We're not huge fans of passive investing. It's a tool. Sometimes active investing is better, sometimes passive. We believe in a blend of the two.
Yeah.
I won't get into that today. But 20 years ago, he turned the industry upside down. Today, it's different. When I say a robo, and I don't like the term robo-advisor. That's what the industry and the reporters now call these companies that will manage a portfolio of ETFs or mutual funds for 0.25%. What I like to call them is algorithm-based asset managers. And these are companies that wrote algorithms that will manage your money at a hell of a lot less, that puts more money in your pocket and makes it harder for the humans to beat that performance.
Oh, yeah.
And now you have the DOL saying if your fee is not reasonable, you can be sued. So now there's this rush to all of a sudden do more. So all these advisors who were collecting all this money for the last decade, really doing nothing because computers do it all, are scrambling to start doing things. So they're going to start offering financial planning, or they're going to start offering estate planning or tax. I met another guy recently at the Ed Slott program. He's going to start doing tax preparation mm-hmm. as part of his asset management mm-hmm. fee. As they start trying to justify their fee so they can say it's reasonable, and God forbid they actually cut it. They don't want to do that or charge separately, which is what we do, which is what I think the industry should do. They're going to try to do more. And now you run into a problem, folks. The problem is this. If you have an IRA, we had an emailer recently, Chris. Chris was here. I'd have said Chris, yep. But he's not. Justin. We had an emailer. You may remember him who had 1.2 million of assets. I believe it was in an IRA. And his wife had an account. They were paying 1% to have the account managed. In his email, he pointed out his wife always thought that that was too much. So she pulled out her account. It was a Roth IRA. His traditional IRA with 1.2 million of it, he left with the investment advisor. And he said several years later, as he compared the performance, his wife, who had bought an index investment, was beating his active manager.
No.
and he wanted to know if I thought 1% was too much to pay for managing 1.2 million. It took me 2 hours to answer the question, which was, yes, I think it's too much. Yeah. But whether or not he listened to that, I don't know. But he did say, and I had to contact him and ask him, are you getting anything else for this 1%?
Right. That's the key.
He did say, I'm getting financial planning. But he could not tell me what percent of that fee was for asset management and what percent was for financial planning. But his advisor was, quote unquote, providing not only investment advice, but financial planning to him.
So let's wrap this up in a numbers thing. $1.2 million.
Correct.
He's getting charged $12,000 a year.
Correct.
For asset management. His wife, who probably had a smaller account, was getting the same.
She had $56,000, if memory serves me correct. I could be wrong on that.
She was paying $560.
At the time, she pulled out and went to a passively managed index with Vanguard.
She, at that time, was getting the exact same asset management.
And the exact same service at a hell of a lot less.
So, yeah. So, somewhere between $10,000 and $11,000 was being charged, allegedly, for financial planning.
You know, that's a good way of looking at it. If the advisor is charging his wife 1% on $56,000, that's $560, and charging him 1%, that's $12,000, one could extrapolate the difference between $560 and $12,000 is what he was paying for financial planning.
I think that's a fair...
If their portfolios were identical.
The same, yeah.
And the work was identical. So what you have here is a situation like that listener, I believe he was from California, paying financial planning advice from IRA assets.
That's an IRA, too.
And here's what's going to happen. As all these advisors, folks, start trying to justify their unjustifiable fee, in my opinion, by offering these services, and they do so by payments from an IRA, they're exposing you, listeners, to the risk of what is called a prohibited transaction. Because the IRS only allows you to take money for your, from your IRA to pay for investment management, not any other expense. Financial planning is not covered. Tax preparation, estate planning cannot be paid for from your IRA unless you declare it as a distribution. When we come back, we're going to explain how most of these advisors are charging and why a prohibited transaction could cause your entire IRA to blow up. That $1.2 million IRA could theoretically be deemed fully dispersed.
Yeah.
And subject to taxes. I say theoretically, because the IRS is not cracking down on it yet. Okay, so when we come back, we're going to get into that, and we're also going to begin with the number one song from 1977. And there is, it was a song that played tribute to a DJ from Florida. Takes the number one spot. All right, so it's paying tribute to a DJ from Florida. That's a terrible hint.
Yeah.
You'll never get it, but I think you'll recognize the song.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay, we'll be back in a few minutes on the Retirement and IRA Show.
You have listened to Jim on the radio, read his quotes in the media, and enjoyed his banter on iTunes. But even now, you may wonder what sets Jim Saulnier and Associates apart from other financial planning companies. The answer is quite simple. Jim's diverse team of professionals specializes in retirement planning. They form a lifelong relationship with you and measure their success not through product sales, but through the security and prosperity you may achieve in your retirement. Jim's entire team shares his unwavering commitment to placing their clients' best interests first while offering their services at fair prices with full disclosures. The professionals at Jim Saulnier & Associates are available to assist you with your retirement planning needs. Visit jimhelps.com to schedule your complimentary coffee and a second opinion meeting. That's Jim, H-E-L-P-S.com. Or call 970-530-0556.
Welcome back to the Retirement and IRA Show. You are listening to the number one song in America this week from 1977. 40 years ago. God, you weren't even born yet.
No, I was not even a twinkle at that point.
You weren't even a gleam in your parents' eyes. Your parents even met 40 years ago?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay, yeah. So they might have been talking about their first kid. Are you the first, second, third?
No, I'm the second.
Second? Okay, well, they might have been talking about their second kid.
Second and most loved.
I don't think your sister would dispute that.
Yeah, maybe.
But that is the number one song, folks, in America from 40 years ago, 1977. I'll explain in the next segment why we do this. It ties into Social Security. But, Chris, can you tell me who this is?
You know, I don't know it. I recognize the song, and I actually recognize that hint that you gave. I feel like at some point in time in the past, maybe a year ago, I was on the show. I think it was a different song, but a similar hint.
Huh.
So,
interesting.
Yeah.
Well, the name of the band is KC and the Sunshine Band.
Yeah. I've heard that before.
Now, you should have picked up on the name of the song. They said it like 10 times in that sound. I'm your boogeyman.
Yeah.
And the song was written about a Miami, Florida radio station DJ, hence the name I'm Your Boogeyman, who was responsible for giving KC and the Sunshine KC and the Sunshine Band's first hit song, Get Down Tonight, airplay. So they were trying to
I wonder
help
when that
them.
Song what was this the first song?
Get Down Tonight.
Get Down Tonight. I bet you that was the song. I bet you that was the song.
Okay.
Yeah.
And their name KC, which is spelled K and a C, KC and the Sunshine Band.
Kansas City?
Not Kansas City. The last name of Harry Wayne is Harry Wayne Casey. He is the one who created the band. He spelled his last name C A S E Y. Mm. So he just took that and went KC, the letter KC. And he called it the Sunshine Band after his home state of Florida, which is called the Sunshine State.
Gotcha.
So that's how he came up with KC and the Sunshine Band. That was another number one hit by them called I'm Your Boogie Man. For those new listeners who have no idea why we do this and how this ties into Social Security, we will tell you in the next segment when we lead in with the number one song in America from 35 years ago, 1982. So how does 1935, the number 40, and the number 35 all have to do with Social Security? We'll tell you in the next segment.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so we're going to get back into what I hope is interesting for people, because I'm trying to set the stage of where the industry is going because of the DOL rule, which begins to take effect now. Again, the DOL's Department of Labor, they have passed a rule called the fiduciary rule that says it does a lot, and we're not getting into the specifics of the rule, but we're getting into one of the net results of the rule is forcing investment advisors to justify their fee. That for a long time, investment advisors really didn't have to justify their fee. And for a long time, for decades, the work of investment advisors has been getting easier and easier and easier thanks to computers. When I first started in this industry, 17, it's going to be 18 years ago shortly. When I first started in this industry a very long time ago, managing a portfolio was a huge to-do. It was a lot of work. Everything was done by hand. Everything was done with fax machines and by hand. And it's you ever watch those commercials on TV? They play in Colorado all the time for that drive-in. Sonic drive-in, they got two guys.
Yeah, I've seen those before, yeah.
And now one guy's kind of dopey, the other guy's kind of smart, and they're always talking in their Sonic drive-in.
Yeah.
There was one spot recently where the dopey one is talking about a picture phone.
A picture phone, huh?
And what he was talking about was a fax machine.
Oh.
And the other guy was saying, "What you know? Are you talking about a fax machine?" And he was talking like it was this top end technology.
So he used to send trades over the picture phone.
We used to use a picture phone to send trades, and it was hard. But as you pointed out, Justin, because in the office we do have Travis, a chartered financial analyst, who helps us do all our due diligence on our portfolios, monitors our portfolios, benchmarks our portfolios, monitors each individual investment, each individual fund or ETF, make sure they're still performing. He does a tremendous amount of work, but then he'll call us and say, okay, this is what needs to be done. I walk into your office, I tell you to do it, and usually within 10 to 20 minutes, hundreds of clients who may have that particular portfolio or investment, it's done.
It's done.
Why the hell would people still be charging an arm and a leg for that?
Yeah, I don't
know. That's where the industry is they're being compressed. But then the DOL comes out with their rule, buried in the rule, says that an investment advisor can be sued if their fee is not, quote unquote, reasonable. I said they can be sued because inside the DOL rule, they freely admit we have no right to enforce this. So we're going to enforce it through the trial bar. I'm against that. I'm against that. You want to say fees should be reasonable? Define it. And they don't. And they did that on purpose. So now you have a scramble to start offering more for the fee. And we want people to understand when you do that, if you currently are paying, let's go back to the email from California, Justin. He said he has an IRA with $1.2 million in it. He's paying 1% to have it managed. Let's skip the fact that his wife, who pulled out of that and put her money in index funds, has a better return than him.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to know if 1% on $1.2 million was reasonable. It took me 2 hours on a show one day to essentially say, no, I don't think it's reasonable. It was like the last 30 seconds. Chris has given me the hurry-up signal.
I was like,
no, it's too much. The other 2 hours was just a lot of stuff that I was trying. I think it was still a good show. But the long and the short of it is I think he's drastically overpaying, right. But that's my opinion.
Right.
Okay, so what you're having, though, is he freely admitted he is paying for some investment advice, for some financial planning in that fee out of his IRA.
Right.
More and more and more investment advisors who call themselves financial planners, but they're nothing more than investment advisors, to justify their fees, to make them quote unquote reasonable, are going to start offering more services.
They're getting sucked into that.
They have to.
Yeah.
The computers, the algorithms are lowering the fees drastically on asset management because it's getting easier and easier. And if you rule out humans and have computers do it, it removes human emotion as well. And when it comes to investing, the number one reason people underperform the markets, human emotion.
Well, it's a behavioral finance.
Exactly. Right? You sell when things are down and you buy when things are up. It's bass-ackwards. But nobody wants to buy stocks when they're down.
No.
When they were down 50% in 2009, I couldn't get anyone to buy a damn stock. But if you walk into a grocery store and your favorite coffee is on sale for 50% off, you'll buy a lot. I know this because I once bought 16 cans of my favorite coffee when it was on sale at half off.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, I was dating Kate at the time, and I went home, and she was there, and I had 16 cans of coffee. She told me, "You are nuts." That's probably why we're not together.
Do you still have coffee?
I drank it all.
You drank it all? Okay. All right.
This was a couple of years ago. Well, yeah. Doesn't take me long to go through 16 cans.
Okay.
But the point is, I didn't cry a hissy fit in the middle of the aisle and demand to see the manager and sue him for selling me a can of coffee half off. I didn't demand to pay full price. I bought six. There was not one can left when I got out of there. The girl at the grocery checkout thought I was nuts as well. And I just told her it's half off.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't I buy it? Why wouldn't I take every damn can?
Yeah.
It's all I had in my checkout cart was 16 cans of this coffee. And anyways, if stocks are off half, no one wants to buy them.
Yeah, it's a
That's
lot.
Human emotion.
It's emotional. It's emotional.
That's why computers, folks, are going to really improve your portfolio. It's going to remove human emotion. It's going to buy when your portfolio is down, and it's going to sell when it's up. When we tell clients we want to sell this investment that's up, use this money to fund some of your immediate cash flow needs, clients look at me like I have four heads. Why do you want to sell that? It's up. Exactly.
Right. Let's use it.
You've got to lock that gain in. If you don't lock it in, it's all paper. It's unrealized.
It's gone.
And then what they'll do is when that thing crashes, they'll say, well, sell that one. It's not doing good anymore. It's down.
Right.
No.
No.
It's when you want to buy more.
Right.
Computers, folks, are going to improve asset management. So investment advisors who really don't do financial planning, they're in a bind. Because computers are doing it better, quicker, and for less money.
And
the DOL is saying if you're not charging a reasonable fee beginning June 9th, you could have your hiney sued.
Yeah.
So now they're in a tizzy. So they're going to start offering more services.
Yeah. Start actually doing
tax planning, tax preparation, estate planning, and the all-encompassing financial planning.
Yeah.
We're going to do financial planning. So let's go back to this gentleman with $1.2 million who is paying for financial planning from his IRA. First of all, exclude the financial planning, Chris. Pete.
Justin. Justin.
Justin, thank you. I got it.
We hang out every day. It's okay. Yeah.
Well, Chris and Pete are much more important than you. How's that?
Oh, boy. I don't know.
For those who don't know, not only do I bastardize the English language, I am terrible with names.
The worst. I've never seen anyone worse than
me
with names.
Exactly.
Unbelievable.
Oh, well, Micah is pointing at himself. He's bad, too.
No. See, most people forget names. You just insert a random name anywhere. That's the difference. You know the name. You just insert a random name.
Totally wrong name. Yeah. And it could be one of the reasons I'm still single. Because let me tell you.
I don't want to say the wrong name.
You, Chris, and Pete laugh over it.
Yeah.
Even my clients sometimes laugh.
Your girlfriend doesn't.
Oh, my Lord.
Mm-mm.
Several times I have called a woman by the wrong name.
Oh,
it's
boy.
Not pretty.
No, I bet it's not.
It is not. Even if it's not in the bedroom, so to speak.
Oh, well,
even
way,
if it's
yeah.
at a lunch table.
Yeah. Who are you thinking about?
Oh, yeah. They, yeah. And I'm like, honey,
right.
I do this all the time. Yeah. They don't believe it.
No.
You've been thinking of her. No, honestly. it's just me.
Yeah.
Oh, it gets me into so much trouble. That's why I say, and I'm totally serious, if I ever get into a serious relationship again, and I hope someday I do, everyone's name is going to be her name.
Yeah.
I don't care. If her name is Pam, you're Pam.
I'm
Chris
Pam.
Is Pam. Pete's Pam. Micah, you're Pam. Everyone will be her name. Even the clients. Hi, Pam. Thanks for coming in today.
Don't want to mess this one up. Jim's in a great relationship.
I can't screw this one up. But anyways, there are two things happening here, folks, with this gentleman or with anyone whose investment advisor is now going to start offering more services. Pete, oh, Jesus.
Justin,
why don't you start and begin by explaining, let's look at the investment management only. Is it allowed to deduct investment management fees, and is it okay to pay investment management fees from an IRA?
Okay. So, yes, it is definitely allowed to pay investment management fees from an IRA that is specifically not a prohibited transaction, as you had mentioned earlier. You can certainly make payments out of that. When it comes to deducting it on your taxes, that's a whole other, I guess, sidebar that we should get into. A lot of people have a lot of their assets in IRAs, and they're paying a management fee. And what we see is, and what I see is when I'm preparing taxes for people is, hey, last year you had all this deductions for investment management, but you only have IRAs. Can you tell me what that was? Did you pay it out of your IRA? Did you pay it out of your bank account? And generally they come back and they say, oh, no, that's an investment management fee that was paid out of my IRA. You can't deduct that as an investment expense. You can deduct investment management fees on your taxes, but they cannot be paid from an IRA. So a very common example that people will relate with is, you know, say you have an IRA and a brokerage account that is not under an IRA. That brokerage account, and you're paying 1% management fee on it, all those fees can easily be deducted and put on your itemized schedule, but the 1% that you're paying on your IRA cannot. Why? Well, you're already paying for that fee tax-free. It's coming out of your IRA. You can't take a tax deduction for something that you got tax-free. It's basic. But more and more often, I just run into that, and tax professionals in the industry just don't recognize that that is something you cannot do.
And the IRS has blessed paying for paying for investment advisory fees for that IRA from that IRA.
Yes.
That is, we're not going to get into it, but there's private letter rulings and there's tax codes that they have no problem with that. But what you cannot do, and they have been adamant on this, you cannot use the IRA to pay for investment management fees on non-IRA accounts. You cannot do that.
No.
However, you could pay for the investment management of an IRA with non-IRA fees.
Absolutely. And then deduct it.
And deduct it. And in fact, they will not consider that an imputed contribution to the IRA. In other words, if it's going to cost you, in this case of this gentleman, he's paying $12,000 a year. Mm-hmm. We don't truly know how much of that is for investment management and how much of it is for financial planning. But let's just say it's half, $6,000. If he paid that $6,000 fee from his brokerage account or his bank account, the IRS doesn't say, well, that's the equivalent of putting $6,000 contribution into your IRA. Mm. They waive that.
It's a good thing.
They will waive it. They will say that does not count against your contribution amount. But most people will pay for the investment management of their IRA through the deduction of that fee tax-free from their IRA.
Which is also perfectly acceptable.
You can't deduct it.
You can't deduct it, no.
But you get the money out of the IRA tax-free.
Why wouldn't you want to take money out of your IRA tax-free?
Exactly. And most people cannot deduct investment management fees anyways, even though they could, because it is a 2% miscellaneous itemized deduction.
Yeah. So
why don't you talk about what that means?
Well, when you itemize your deductions, it's not like everything you put on that itemized schedule you can deduct. So in order to, say, itemize a medical expense, this is a nice, easy example. So you had $100,000 worth of income that year. You would have to have expenses that are higher than 10% of your adjusted gross income of $100,000. So any expense over $10,000 in that case could actually be itemized. The investment expenses are a little bit different. They are a 2% miscellaneous itemized deduction, a much smaller hurdle to get over, but still something that, hurdle you need to get over, and you typically don't have fees that are higher than that. Very possible if you're paying a lot or you don't make a lot of money and your AGI is lower, but it's not a deduction that is commonly used unless you either have high expenses or low income.
And you have to deduct, and half of taxpayers, I think more than half, don't deduct. They take standard deduction.
And then on top of that, you have to meet or beat your standard deduction.
Absolutely.
Which is, right around $6,300 or $12,000 for married. Yeah.
So even though investment advisory fees are deductible, few people do it. And if you are subject to the AMT, alternative minimum tax, you lose it.
You can't do it anyways. Yeah.
So even though they're deductible, few people actually do. Few people actually qualify for it. So instead, they will pay their investment advisory fees from their IRA tax-free. The investment advisor, now you can't take the money from the IRA and write the check to the investment advisor. That's a distribution.
Mm-hmm.
The IRS says the investment advisor has to take the money him or herself directly. From the IRA.
Right.
So we're investment advisors as well as financial planners. We're financial planners first. And again, our investment advisory, we have a professional
CFA?
Yeah.
Chartered Financial Analyst.
Yeah. Thank you, Travis. And we take our investment advisory services very seriously.
Absolutely.
but we will debit that fee directly from our client's IRA and just that fee, because we know the rules we're leading up to, just that fee, never any other fee. We never do that. We will charge for everything else separately. So when we do that, clients benefit from paying for it with tax-free dollars. Mm-hmm. The problem becomes this, folks. If you use your IRA to pay any other fee besides an investment advisory fee, that can run into what is called a prohibited transaction.
You got to watch out on that.
And a prohibited transaction will blow up your entire IRA and make the entire IRA distributable January 1st of the year the prohibited transaction took place. So, and a prohibited transaction is essentially self-dealing. It is when your IRA and money in the IRA is used to benefit you or a disqualified person. A disqualified person would be your immediate family, such as your spouse, your children, your parents, your grandparents. As we have pointed out regularly on this show, brothers and sisters are not disqualified persons. But as Ed Slott says, don't try that at home. Don't use your IRA to benefit your siblings, even though they're not listed under this list of disqualified persons. Ed said, probably if the IRS gets it, they'll hold that they are.
Which is crazy because of how directly related they are to
I know, but they're not named. It's
your,
the weirdest thing.
Your son's wife would be a disqualified
would be.
Person.
Correct.
Yes.
But not your son.
No, your son would be. Not your brother.
Not your brother.
Right.
So a disqualified person is also yourself, as I said. It is also any fiduciary of your IRA. So the custodian or the trustee or anything like that. You can't be all in ad hoc benefiting each other. You cannot take money tax-free from your IRA and use it to buy or pay for any goods or services that benefit you.
That's right.
So estate planning, tax preparation, and the all-encompassing, quote-unquote, financial planning, if you pay for any of those fees with money from your IRA and you are not declaring that as a distribution, paying taxes on it, paying a 10% penalty on it if you are under the age of 59 and a half, and then listing it as income on your tax return and then paying the fee off, if you are doing it by tax-free distribution, that the person providing that service is just taking the money themselves out, that is a prohibited transaction.
Right. And it's almost like a little, it's a very gray area. There's no doubt about that. And because the investment advisor is taking out the money tax-free from your account directly, but labeling it as investment advice, but then going and using it for other things, that's the issue that we're running into.
That's the issue. And as professionals far smarter than you and I have warned, if your investment advisor actually advertises that he or she is providing all these other services as part of this fee, that's going to blow it up.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe if they're providing those services for you. And
if they're ancillary services, if they're just, hey, the vast majority of our fee that we're charging you is for investment advising,
yes,
but on the side, we'll do a quick little this or a quick little that. If that's
probably
it.
Probably not a problem.
We say probably because the IRS hasn't said yet.
Probably not a problem right now.
But if your investment advisor has on their website that they offer investment management, financial planning, tax preparation,
all bundled under 1% fee that's going to come from your IRA,
that's trouble.
Oh, my God.
So when we come back, we're going to get into that a little bit more for those of you who are paying someone to do a hell of a lot, or for those of you who are all of a sudden are getting more services from your investment advisor. It's not because they love you. It's because the DOL is forcing it under their quote-unquote reasonable measure of what a fee should be, and the computers are forcing down investment advisory fees so much, investment advisors have to justify their 1.5% fee. So we'll get back into this when we come back, and we're also going to lead in with the number one song in America from 1982. This week's song, oh, wait a minute. It's not going to be the number one song from 1982. It's the number eight song.
Oh.
The number one song is still a repeat, Ebony and Ivory, and we played that already.
Yeah.
So the number eight song actually hit number one on the country charts, but only made it to number eight on the regular charts. Mm-hmm. And that song is next on the Retirement and IRA Show.
Are you interested in your own customized Social Security analysis? If so, visit us at helpwithmysocialsecurity.com and click the Contact Jim and Chris button. Jim and Chris offer a $75 Social Security optimization analysis that includes a one-hour consultation to discuss the specifics of your Social Security situation. This very affordable offer is for both singles and couples and will provide you with the information you need to make an informed decision about claiming your Social Security benefit.
Welcome back to the Retirement and IRA Show. That is the number eight song, not the number one song, but the number eight song 35 years ago in America this week in 1982. Do you know the artist first?
Willie Nelson.
Yes, we got,
right.
We got that one.
Yeah.
Everybody knows Willie. What's the song?
Always on my mind?
Always on my mind. Very good. Very good. You nailed it. And that song by Willie Nelson is the best-known version of the song. It was written by three men, Johnny, Christopher, Mark James, and Wayne Thompson. Not that those three names mean anything to us. And was first recorded in 1971, so 11 years earlier, by a woman named Brenda Lee.
Oh.
I don't know if it went very far with Brenda. And then in 1982, Willie came out with that version, which is the best-known version.
It certainly is.
But 10 years earlier, Elvis Presley recorded it in 1972. 10 years later, the same year that Willie came out with his version, Nelson came out with his version.
Nelson.
He had one hit song. I forget what it is, but he was a one hit wonder.
Not Willie Nelson.
Just Nelson.
But Nelson.
Yeah, not Willie Nelson, just Nelson.
Just piggybacking on.
Oh, wait a minute. Nope. I stand corrected. She means Nelson as in Willie Nelson.
Oh.
But there is another guy whose last name might not have been Nelson. It was something, and he came out with a one-hit wonder in the 1970s. And 10 years after that, actually a little bit more than 10 years, 15 years after that, the Pet Shop Boys came out in 87 with a technopop version to pay homage to the 10-year anniversary of Elvis's death. But it's Willie's version in 82 that everybody remembers, Always on My Mind, 35 years ago this week. And the reason we do this, folks, I've been saying that I would tell everyone, especially our new listeners, normally in this segment, and we're not going to do it because Chris isn't here, we give everyone an update on what's new on helpwithmysocialsecurity.com. That is a blog post that Chris and I host, and every week we post a new blog. Chris isn't here to talk about it. He did record the blog. It's playing this week. I don't know what it is, so that's why we can't give an update on what's
okay.
New, because we have no clue what Chris posted on there. But how all this ties in is, of course, we led in with a song from 1935 because that's the year Social Security was created, 1935. We then lead in with a song from 40 years ago because when Social Security was first created, they based it off of a calculation called 40 computation years. 40 elapsed years. I always get those two confused. 40 elapsed years. And today, they base it off of 35 computation years. So hence, 1935, 40, and 35. So they all tie into Social Security. We also think it's kind of neat. People like to hear songs and try to guess them and remember them. It makes you think back. So that's kind of why we do it. But we're not going to have an update on what's new on helpwithmysocialsecurity.com because Justin and I have no clue what Chris posted before he left for Vietnam.
No idea.
Now, next week is going to be one of our posts, so we will know.
Yeah, we'll talk about
that. So we'll talk about that.
Excellent.
But we don't know what's playing this week because we haven't looked. But you can look. Just go to helpwithmysocialsecurity.com. And for those iTunians, you know we have that podcast available as well. So go in the little search box of your podcast program and type Social Security and Help with My Social Security will pop up. And you could subscribe to that and listen to us every week talk about Social Security if you'd like. Okay, so back to what we were getting at. We're trying to explain why you may be seeing increased services added to your investment advisory fee. That the fee structure in our industry is being greatly impacted by the internet and by the regulators. Two elements that I had told you 3 years ago, Justin, were our biggest competitors, not the office down the street from us. That we feel strongly, I feel vehemently, my retirement planning process, my ethics, my ability, everything we do, we can hold our own against any financial planning firm out there that specializes in retirement planning. That's our niche.
Agreed.
That's our specialty. We're distribution planners. We're not accumulation planners. We really help people understand what do you have to do in the last third of your life.
Right.
If you are doing the same, if you're advisor is following the same rules that he or she helped you with when you were in your 30s, 40s, and 50s, and they're trying to apply that to your late 50s, 60s, and 70s, watch out.
You're doing it wrong. Yeah, I'm just going to
because
put it
out
there.
You are doing it wrong.
Yeah.
The rules of distribution are dramatically different than the rules of accumulation.
Well, I mean, if you want to get into that, they are accumulation advisors. They are playing by the rules of modern portfolio theory, which is what they believe in, which is justified. But modern portfolio theory is focused on a 30, 40, 50-year stint of time in the markets. The money that you're taking out of your IRAs and assets in retirement is not going to see that, so the investment rules change.
Exactly, and too many advisors don't know that, investment advisors.
Right.
And they are giving what we feel is very poor retirement planning advice. But that said, what we're trying to get people to understand is because the Department of Labor said investment advisors' fees must be, quote unquote, reasonable. And they never defined reasonable. And they set the stage to enforce the reasonableness need, not through statutory rules and laws, but by the trial bar. This is a big issue I have with this.
We understand that. We've been saying that.
That advisors who just do investment management are starting to worry. Couple that with the fact that 4 years ago, algorithm-driven investment advisors, otherwise known as robo-advisors, I don't like that name, I call them algorithm-based investment advisors, started coming onto the scene. Betterment, and I always forget the other companies, you know them, what are they called? We heard one talk in Denver, remember, what do they do, who are they?
Yeah, I got to remember them all.
I can't remember.
Personal Capital is one of them,
yeah.
So they combine advisor.
So
advisor, yeah.
They're out there, but as they came on board, all the big guys, these young companies, these new companies, they're going to make it. They're going to be bought out because Vanguard has adopted it. And overnight, they got 50-something billion in their program. BlackRock made headlines in our. BlackRock is the largest asset manager in the world, bigger than Vanguard. BlackRock announced layoffs of human investment advisors and the adoption of more algorithm systems.
Yes.
So, what you're seeing is a marketed change in our industry where you can remove human emotion. This is much better than passive investing, folks, and all the boogleheads or boggleheads, whatever they call themselves, from Vanguard. And we like Vanguard. We have nothing against them.
Absolutely.
But Vanguard is just a passive index. The true advantage is where you can remove human emotion, mix passive with active management, and have a computer decide asset allocation based on any number of measures that can be analyzed instantly. So this marriage of active and passive under a algorithm, to me, is where the industry is going. That's where it's going. And it is driving down my cost. My costs have been driven down over the past 17 years, amazingly, but they're being driven down even lower, folks. And we pass that savings on to you, but a lot of investment advisors, the human ones, haven't.
No, they have not.
Now they're worried that the computers are driving it down, and now they have to defend the reasonableness of their fee, so they're going to do it by adding more services. And they still want this asset under management fee, this AUM fee, this 1.5% of your portfolio. They want to be able to continue to take that, and they're taking it from IRAs, because most assets are in IRAs.
A lot of
401ks and 403bs. They're from retirement accounts. Mm-hmm. And the DOL is saying, well, if you do that, your fee better be reasonable. If it's not reasonable, you can be sued.
So, yeah, we got two competing things. The DOL is looking for reasonable fees, and then the IRS, which we talked about earlier, is going to say, well, these fees that you're saying are reasonable now are being used for prohibitive transactions.
And that's the problem. A prohibited transaction is if your IRA is used pretty much to pay for any fee that benefits you except for the investment advising of your IRA only. That is perfectly okay. IRS has ruled on that consistently. However, when everything is bundled and not separated, it's very difficult for you or your advisor to defend to the IRS a $12,000 asset management fee. First of all, that advisor who's charging 1% on that $1.2 million, they may have a hard time defending it when a computer will do it at 0.25%. So if a computer will do it at 0.25% and they're charging 1%, could one extrapolate that the financial planning was 3/4 of that? And if that's 3/4 of that, now the IRS is going to have an issue with it because that's self-dealing. You can't take 1% out. Only 25% is for investment management. And this is what I told that listener from California. You got to find out. I can't tell you if 1% is reasonable. If it was just for asset management, no, I don't think that's reasonable at all. For $1.2 million, not in today's day and age. 20 years ago, that was more than reasonable. Mm-hmm. Not today. But the problem is he didn't know how much of that fee was for financial planning, how much of that fee was for investment advising. And we feel in our understanding of the rules, if the majority of that fee was actually for investment advice and the financial planning was just a little side thing, a little ancillary thing, given off to the side, a little cherry on top free thing, then you might be okay. We say
yeah.
might,
yeah.
not will, might. We don't yeah. know. We think you'll be all right in the eyes of the IRS. But if your investment advisor has to now defend their fee by being reasonable and they're starting to say to you, well, even though I'm charging you 1%, 30% of that is for estate planning, 20% of that is for tax planning, 40% of that is for financial planning, and only 10% is actually to manage your assets. So we're right in line with the 0.25% that the computers are doing this at, so we're reasonable. You can't sue me.
Now let's talk to the IRS.
Now the IRS is going to come in and say, well, that means all those other fees are self-dealing. Your $1.2 million IRA is deemed distributed January 1st of the year that prohibited transaction happened. So if your advisor is not telling you, hey, I'm going to start offering all these services, but here's your risk, and they're just doing it, you got to know the risk. The IRS has not cracked down on this yet, but what I warned people, a couple of years ago, there was the Bobro case. The Barbro case is famous in our industry because the IRS was taking someone to court for inappropriately missing a 60-day rollover. The guy had done a series of 60-day rollovers from his IRA. He did one, took the money, and was using it for other needs, Justin. Mm-hmm. Within 60 days, he took another rollover from a different IRA he had, used it to pay off the first rollover, and kept the money out even longer, another 60 days. Then before that time limit came, he took money from his wife's IRA, rolled it over to pay for the second rollover, and kept the money out longer. Mm-hmm. Well, he missed the timing on the second rollover, so the IRS actually sued him in tax court. And said to him, you were doing too many rollovers. You were trying to abuse the system. It was one rollover after another after another. You really weren't looking to move that money.
Right.
You were looking to borrow the money.
Right.
Well, the IRS lost in tax court on that case. But they won on something totally else. The court said to the IRS, it's perfectly okay for him to do that. What isn't okay, and in other words, take money from his wife's IRA to pay back his IRA rollover. Court had no problem with that. They said the money is fungible. What the issue was, the court said, is as we look at the rule, it's not one rollover per IRA. It's actually one rollover per taxpayer. The IRS wasn't even taking him to court on that. It's just that the tax court said, IRS, you're wrong on what you took him to court on, but Mr. Barbro, stop celebrating. You're in trouble.
You're in big trouble.
You're only supposed to do one rollover per taxpayer, and they held the other two were distributions.
Per 365 days.
Right, not the other two, the other one, because the third one was his wife's. What I'm getting at, folks, is the IRS has not cracked down yet, Justin, on prohibited transactions, IRA money being used to pay for financial planning, tax preparation, estate planning, anything else your advisor is trying to bundle in this one fee. But what if the IRS someday takes someone to court for something totally different, Justin?
Could very well be that.
Totally different. And the tax court is looking at this and pulls a Barbro out of thin air and says to the IRS, hey, you're wrong. This guy did nothing wrong on what you took him to court for. But hey, Mr. Taxpayer, now that you're in court, we're looking at this. This is a prohibited transaction, and we're holding you responsible. That's what I worry about.
Yeah, and I mean, there are other cases already out there. I was looking into this last night.
The trust one?
The trust one, the Knight versus Commissioner. And it's almost exactly what we're dealing with right now, where there's these bundles fees coming out, some going for investment management, some going for other trust services and things like that. And they have different tax consequences when in the trust. And this went to court, and in the end, they said, all right, well, from now on, these fees have to be unbundled.
Correct. And that trust, we don't want to get into this case, lost.
Right.
Because everything was bundled together, and the IRS won. So I firmly believe, especially if it's a big IRA, $1.2 million, $2 million, $3 million, the IRS needs to just haul one person into court and set the stage, and this whole thing blows up. So here's what I'm trying to get at, folks. If you're working with an investment advisor, have him or her unbundle their fees. Don't you want to know? Wouldn't that listener in California want to know, out of the $12,000 they're paying to their investment advisor, how much of that is for truly investment advisory? How much is that for financial planning, tax planning, estate planning? So that way they can look and evaluate, because that was his question. Is it worth paying 1% to have my assets managed? And I said, I think it's too much if it's just for investment advisoring. But I don't know what they're doing for financial planning. Why have everything bundled, folks? Why do investment advisors do it? Because they can keep you cloudy. They can keep you guessing. They can keep it out of the loop of what you're actually paying for what. It's hard for you to measure. Is it worth it or not?
It's amazing when you go and look at all of these websites for investment advisors and list of all the services that they provide you, but probably 90% of them, those services, you'll never even
see. You're not even going to see it.
You don't even need it.
That's what Chris says about the old cell phone systems years ago, where you would pay one fee, they weren't unbundled back then, for a list of things that you never used.
Right.
But you pay for it. It's like my cable bill today. That thing pisses me off. Yeah. I'm paying for some stupid station I don't even watch.
Exactly.
Because they bundle everything. They refuse to unbundle. That's why the cable industry is being eaten alive by the websites where, hey, I just want to pay for this, this, and that.
I don't even have cable.
You don't even have cable.
I don't even
know how to break free from it. So it's just difference in generations. But my practice, folks, what you should look for, and I'm not trying to toot my own, tout my services. Cool.
All right.
Got it. See, Micah, I nailed that one. All right. I'm not trying to tout my own horn here. But
you messed it up there.
Toot my own horn. I'm not trying to toot my horn, tout my services. I had it. I was going to do it. I was on a roll. And anyways, I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. Is that much better? There we go.
There you go.
All right. But I am happy that we have unbundled all our services. People can work. We have iTunians calling us all the time, working with us throughout the country, not to manage their assets.
No.
They're do-it-yourselfers.
Yeah, they do.
They're perfectly happy managing their own assets.
Right.
They want someone who knows what the hell they're doing about retirement planning to tell them, am I on track?
Right.
And they don't want to have to hire someone that's going to charge them one and a half to, quote unquote, manage their assets and roll all these other things in there. And it's impossible for them to tell what they're being paid. If you're working with someone like that, I would demand them, first of all, to not charge your IRA. You don't want to be that poor sap the IRS is going to come after, or you don't want to be placed in a situation where you're disputing something, you want to take the IRS to tax court, but now you're wondering, will the tax court pull a Barbaro on me? Here, the poor guy takes the IRS to tax court to argue something totally different than what the tax court ruled against this poor guy. He won. He won against the IRS. He must have been happy for about 3 seconds when the tax court said, we rule in favor of Mr. Barbaro. He must have been ecstatic. And then they said, oh, but wait, Mr. Barbaro, you're in trouble.
Mm.
Because they then turned around and said, even though you won,
you lost.
Yeah. Because in our opinion, what you did was wrong because of this. And it wasn't even what the IRS was taking them to court for. Do you want to be exposed to the having a million or a $2 million IRA or a $3 million or a $500,000?
Right.
Do you want to be the poor sap that the tax court or the IRS says all these bundle fees is self-dealing? You formed a prohibited transaction and your entire IRA is deemed distributed and taxed to you in full in the year the prohibited transaction happened, even if they don't catch it for 3, 4, 5, 6 years later.
Imagine all the tax penalties.
The penalties, the issues you are going to have, all because your advisor refuses to give up AUM as their business model.
Or because they don't know what they don't know.
That is the worst. That's very good, Justin. I often tell you what is the most dangerous investment advisor or financial planner out there?
Someone who doesn't know what they don't know.
Exactly. And a lot of advisors, our colleague at this meeting, how this whole conversation began, was unsure of this.
Mm-hmm.
The people on stage were unsure of this when I said it could be a prohibited transaction. If I were you, I would demand the fees be unbundled. And the only fee you want to pay for from this point forward is for managing your money. And if they are charging you significantly more than what the computers are going to do, why don't you have the computers manage your money and save some, folks, and then just pay your advisor for advice? And if they don't want to charge you just for their advice, just for a financial plan, just for a tax plan, just for an estate plan, go find someone who will.
Yeah, they've just shown their true colors at that point in time.
Exactly. Right. They're just leaning back, collecting money out of you.
Golfing all day.
Doing nothing. And I can't say doing nothing, but it's not as hard as it was 15, 20 years ago. I know this because I was there. So what I'm trying to warn our do-it-yourselfers, our iTunians, stop paying attention to this. Stop paying attention to what you're paying for your fees and start questioning if you are paying a bundled fee from your IRA. Because if the IRS pulls a Barbro on you, or the tax court pulls a Barbro on you because the IRS is suing you for something else, that entire IRA, folks, you don't want to be that poor person that is deemed a full distribution and a prohibited transaction.
Or at least now you know the risks.
Now you know the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say. So anyways, iTunians out there, if you're really looking for a company that will do, I hate tooting, touting, or whatever the hell it is. I hate talking all the time about what we do, and we don't talk enough. But we do work with people throughout the nation.
Absolutely.
So if you want someone who's just going to help you with retirement planning, and you want to manage your assets, and you're not going to fall victim to any of this, give us a call or look for someone in your own neighborhood. But we are available for that. Anyways, thank you for this episode of the Retirement and IRA Show. We will be back next week. Remember, folks, in Northern Colorado, we are live next week with Peter Scott, maybe Justin, answering your questions right here on KFKA.
You have listened to Jim on the radio, read his quotes in the media, and enjoyed his banter on iTunes. But even now, you may wonder what sets Jim Saulnier and Associates apart from other financial planning companies. The answer is quite simple. Jim's diverse team of professionals specializes in retirement planning. They form a lifelong relationship with you and measure their success not through product sales, but through the security and prosperity you may achieve in your retirement. Jim's entire team shares his unwavering commitment to placing their clients' best interests first while offering their services at fair prices with full disclosures. The professionals at Jim Saulnier & Associates are available to assist you with your retirement planning needs. Visit jimhelps.com to schedule your complimentary coffee and a second opinion meeting. That's Jim, H-E-L-P-S.com. Or call 970-530-0556.
The Retirement and IRA Show represents the words and views of the show hosts exclusively and should not be construed as investment, legal, or tax advice. All information is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. All economic and performance information is historical in nature and is not indicative of any future results. Any indices mentioned on the show are unmanaged and cannot be invested in directly. Diversification and asset allocation strategies do not assure profit or protect against loss. Never make any investment or financial decisions based on information offered on this show without first consulting your financial, legal, or tax advisor. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Financial planning services offered through Jim Saulnier & Associates, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Jim Saulnier & Associates, LLC, and Cambridge are not affiliated.